And she went to where they had placed Jesus' body. What did she find when she arrived there? She found that the stone that had been over the opening of the tomb had been rolled away. Now, if you look in the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they use different terms. They use terms, in John it says taken away, but in other ones it says rolled away, and so on. And one of the other Gospels tells us that this stone was very large. And so when she arrived, she was really surprised that this heavy stone had been removed. But something else was going on too. Do you remember what the Jews had done? They had put a seal on the tomb, and they had placed guards at the tomb to make sure that nobody could come and take the body of Jesus. And here she finds the stone taken away and the tomb is open. What's her immediate reaction when she sees this? Oh, they've taken the body of Jesus away. Where have they taken it? Who has taken it? The soldiers? They're no longer here. Who's taken it? Even his disciples? What's going on here, she was saying. What had Mary just been a witness to a miracle? So did the miracle of the stone being rolled away convince her of the resurrection? You see, miracles in and of themselves are not sufficient to convince a person that Jesus is real, that Jesus is the God-man. A miracle alone won't do it. Somebody will say, if God would just show me this miracle, then I will believe. And yet Jesus dismisses that, and he uses the parable of Lazarus and Abraham. And Abraham says to the rich man, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, then why would they believe even if somebody was raised from the dead? So the first thing that we encounter here is that a miracle isn't sufficient to convince a person. Now, Peter and John arrive at the tomb. And when they go into the actual tomb itself, they see the cloths laying there nicely folded up. Now, if you read closely, it says that John believed. Well, what did he believe? Because a little further on, it says they didn't yet understand the scriptures that Jesus was to be raised from the dead. So what did he believe? Probably he believed that the tomb was empty, not yet that the resurrection had occurred. That the what Mary had said, they've taken away the Lord. Yeah, that's what he believed. They'd taken the body. Not that he had been raised yet, but some commentators probably suggest that at that point, John believed, but Peter didn't yet believe. So there's some modern liberals who would tell you, well, they use this thing called the swoon theory, that Jesus recovered from the crucifixion, and of his own volition, he was able to roll the stone and get out. And this is what they will say about the empty tomb. And yet we see the evidence there of folded up cloths on the shelf where the body of Jesus had laid. And what about this evidence? Empty tomb, folded up cloths, no body. So the claws are gone off of the body. The burial shroud is left behind. This is evidence. Is the evidence sufficient to convince people that Jesus is God and that he has been raised from the dead? Interesting that back in the 1970s, there was a book that came out called The Structure of Scientific Revolution, and it was written by Thomas Kuhn. And when I was in university, it was all the rage because it talked about what's called the priority of the paradigm, and that there is going to be, that people come up with every kind of explanation rather than to change their belief positions. And so evidence isn't sufficient to change people's beliefs about Jesus. Miracles aren't sufficient, and evidences aren't sufficient. Mary is confused. She's weeping, and Peter and John go back into the city, and they leave her there. So she looks in to the tomb. What does she now see? Two angels are there. They didn't appear to Peter and John, but they appeared to Mary. And they ask her, why is she weeping? And what does she say? Well, they've taken away my Lord. The body is gone. And the angels tell her, don't be alarmed, for he who is crucified is not here. These angels announce to Mary that the resurrection has occurred. And yet she still doesn't believe it, because we'll see in a moment that when she encounters Jesus and thinks he's the gardener, she says, oh, but where have they taken his body? So even the message from angels, a powerfully preached message from angels, is not enough to convince a person that Jesus is God and that he's been raised from the dead. And the reality is that you can have all of the proclamation and it just bounces off of people's heads, or it gets stuck in the wax in their ears. They don't take the message to heart. So she turns out of the tomb, and Jesus is standing there. And she says, where have they laid my Lord? And why is it that she doesn't recognize Jesus? Well, various suggestions have been made. It was still dark. She'd been crying so much that the tears were blinding her. There was a mist in the garden. In the shadows, Jesus was standing in the shadows. Various explanations. It's more likely that Jesus in his resurrected, glorified form still would have been recognizable as Jesus, but looked different enough that Mary didn't make the connection. We have two other examples of this. On the road to Emmaus, when the two disciples are walking, they didn't recognize Jesus. And when Jesus is on the shore, and at the end of the Gospel of John, and the disciples are out on the water, they again didn't recognize Jesus. So something different in his appearance. And she is actually seeing the risen Lord Jesus, and yet she still does not believe. So what does it take to convince a person that Jesus is the Lord, the God, and he has been raised from the dead? Do you know that during his public ministry, he performed various miracles? And what did the Jews say? They said, well, he does it by the power of Beelzebub, like Baal. It's Satan that's actually have the power that's getting him to perform these miracles. And so think about this. Mary has seen a miracle. She has seen evidences. She's heard good preaching. And yet, at this point, she doesn't believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And this is no different from anyone else, because you can hear good preaching. You can even read about the miracles, and you can see all kinds of evidences for the empty tomb. In fact, there's a book called Evidence Demands a Verdict. Seeing evidences and hearing the preaching and so on was no guarantee that Mary or anybody would come to believe in the resurrection and come to saving faith. So what is it? What is it that brought Mary to understand that Jesus had been raised from the dead? In fact, what is it that brings every believer to Christ? What is it? Mary didn't recognize Jesus, and Jesus made a self-revelation that is somewhat, in some respects, similar to when Joseph turned to his brothers in Egypt and he said, "I am Joseph." And their minds were blown because there was the brother that they had sold into slavery. Well, Jesus did a very similar self-revelation. One word to Mary. And what was it? He said, "Mary." He called her by name, Mary. And at that point, she realized that it was Jesus. The person who became the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, we read about him, and he's on his way to Damascus. And Jesus appears to him in a vision from heaven. And what does he call? He says, "Saul, Saul." His name was Saul before he became Paul. "Saul, Saul." At that moment, when he was called by name, is when he believed in Jesus. Jesus has a book. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And in that book is every single person's name for whom he died on the cross. We are all, if we are believers in Jesus, our names are written in his book. Of course, it's figuratively. He doesn't have a physical scroll there. But every believer is known to Jesus by name. And so how does conversion, how does coming to faith begin? It is when Jesus calls you and me by name. That is how we come to know personally Jesus is our Savior. Jesus says earlier in John, he says, "I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep hear my name, and I know them, and I call them by name, and they follow me." Well, theologians refer to this as the effectual call. It's effective. It is what changes a stone-cold heart into a living heart of faith. It is when Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, calls us by name. And he calls us to follow him. Simple question, are we listening? Because sometimes the way he calls us is with a whisper. Other times when he calls us is with a slap in the head. And he says, calls us by name. Listen, and he calls us by name. But it was one word that convinced Mary that Jesus was raised from the dead and was alive. Just imagine then when she heard this word, her name on the mouth of Jesus, from the mouth of Jesus, her heart must have just been exploding in excitement. Here he was, risen from the dead. The empty tomb now was saying he has risen. Now, what does Jesus then say? He says, and why we read from Isaiah 45, "Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." And what does Mary do? On hearing her name, she turns around, turns to Jesus, and that's when she is now facing her Lord. And so like Mary, we have an amazing privilege when Jesus calls us by name and leads us to salvation. And what does Mary in response call Jesus? She calls him Rabboni, which John tells us means teacher. When Thomas, the skeptic disciple, didn't believe in the resurrection, and Jesus shows him the marks in his hands and in his side, what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. So there are various responses that we can have when Jesus calls us by name. We call him God, we call him the God-man, we call him Lord, we call him Jehovah, we call him the Creator, we call him the Sovereign, and King of Kings, and so on. Mary called him Rabbi, or Rabboni in Aramaic, teacher. Now, it's interesting because Mary had been with Jesus probably throughout all of his 3 years of ministry. She had followed him with many other people beside the 12 apostles. And she had learned a lot. And yet she turns to him and says, teacher. Because Jesus says, you have to learn of me because I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. She knew that learning was not a one-off event. She had to go to her teacher and learn from him. And it's no different from us. Being a Christian is a lifelong learning process. We learn by reading the Bible. We learn by praying and seeing how God answers our prayer. We learn by hearing good preaching, by reading good books that were written on the Bible and about Christianity. And so it is a lifelong learning process. Now, Jesus has one final word for Mary. He says to her, don't cling to me, but go and tell the disciples that I have been raised from the dead. See, it's not enough that we just keep learning, learning, learning. Mary has to do that. She goes to her teacher. But that's not enough. We must do something with what we have learned. And so Jesus says, go and announce that I have been raised from the dead. Go and tell them that I am going to the Father. And when he says the Father, of course, he's referring to the disciples and to the women that had followed along as Mary's brothers and sisters. And so later, Jesus will tell the disciples to do the same thing. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them. But interestingly, what we have here is the very first person to see the risen Lord Jesus was Mary. And it was a woman. In a patriarchal society, this is astounding because she is now told to bear witness. And in that ancient society, a woman's evidence didn't have much value as a man's. And he breaks all paradigms by telling a woman to go and declare that he is the Messiah risen from the dead. It's astounding when you think about it, what's happening here. I have seen the Lord, she says. I've seen the risen Lord Jesus. Treated as a second-class citizen in a society, she is declaring the Lord Jesus. So we have here a clear indication that once we have been called by name, we all have a responsibility to learn and then to go out and announce. Every single believer is called by name by Jesus. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank you for this tremendously powerful experience that Mary had as she encountered the Lord Jesus and when he called her by name. We thank you that each one of us, if we are believers today, have been called by name. And for any of us here who are not believers, we ask, Lord, that you would open their ears, their minds, and let them hear you calling them by name. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.